Well, good morning, everybody. Happy May. Seems like time just gets faster and faster, doesn't it? Everybody's always told me that. As you get older, it seems like time flies. It just seems like it just keeps ticking very quickly. But I appreciate it. Looking forward to Fellowship Month, and I enjoy time with God's people. Man, I appreciate it. So I hope everybody gets a chance to stay and be with us. All right, we've been looking at Psalm 23 for some time now, and we're going to continue right there. And we've been looking there at verse number 4, and we've been looking specifically at that phrase, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And we've been dealing for several weeks with the rod there, and we wrapped that up last week. But verse number 4 of Psalm 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And so several things that we've looked at here, but we come down to the last point, so to speak, of chapter 4 in that phrase, "Thy rod and staff, they comfort me." And we're just looking at the affirmation that we find in knowing that our Savior, our Shepherd, is with us, and there's comfort in just knowing that and understanding His presence. And so what we want to deal with is that word staff today. And what I found as I looked through the Scripture at the word staff, man, it's used in a variety of means, Brother Jesse. I mean, and it's not used as widely as commonly as the word rod, honestly. And you know, as any time that we try to teach, we just try to ask the Lord, Brother Kevin. I mean, It's not, I can find all kinds of stuff to say, but the truth is, it's pointless for me to say stuff if it's not what God wants me to say.
Hey, that's right.
And so today, I'll be honest with you, it's probably going to be real simple and real comforting. At least I hope it's real comforting. That's the way I mean. If it comes across any other way than comforting, just you probably took it wrong. How about that? Amen. But I find comfort just as David did in knowing that his rod and his staff are there, and they comfort me. And as we said before, that rod is a symbol of his strength and his power and his authority. But when we get to his staff, I mean, it's a picture of his support and his security. And you know, I think I said before that he uses the rod to drive away the enemies. But that staff that's got that crook in it, he uses that thing to get a hold of me and draw me closer.
That's right.
So one, he uses to drive the enemies away. But as we think about the staff, I want you to think about, you know, that picture that we see when we do the nativity. Those little shepherds come up and they've got those little crook staffs. That's the picture I want you to have in mind of the shepherd today. A shepherd that's interested in drawing each and every one of you here today as close to him as you can be. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he's not a God that's, you know, as my wife testified there, that's gone on a vacation, that ain't interested in me, that he's only interested in me in certain times. But what I find in Scripture over and over again is, Brother Kevin, he just constantly desires my presence. Man, and if I will give him my presence, man, he will just pour out his presence in my life. And so I'm thankful for the promises that we find. So this staff would be, when you look at it in Scripture, really, I mean, it's a stick in this sense. It's a stick that is carried in the hand for support or defense by a person walking. So, I mean, it's a multi-purpose tool, okay? But hence a support, that which props or upholds. And as I thought about that, you know, I tend to lean toward thinking about the support that I get from the Lord. But when I pondered on that, you know, I thought that staff, it's not in my hands supporting me.
That's right.
Whose hands is that staff in? It's in the Lord's hands. Does he need support? He don't need support. And so this is just my mind. As I go through things in Scriptures, I try to reason, okay? I try to reason and I try to think, Lord, so what are you trying to show us with that staff? And so I got to just doing a little bit of reading, just general reading on what's the purpose of a shepherd's staff. Not so much in how does it help the shepherd, But what does it do for the sheep?
Right.
Because that's the part that David is saying here. He says, his staff and his rod, they comfort me. So how did David find comfort in that staff being there present? And that's the question that I want to ask. And so what I understand from most anybody that you read after is that staff, as I said, looks much like what we have here at a nativity scene. It's got a hook on it. Now, every staff that you read about in the Bible, I don't think does, Brother Kevin. I think that's a specifically for a shepherd.
That's right.
I mean, there's staffs all throughout Scripture that are used, and you can find where men took their staff and they took a weapon out of their opponent's hands. And I think it was used, like we would say, in karate, they use like a bow staff. You know, just a stick. Walking sticks. We have walking sticks today, right? But specifically this staff would be what we see with a hook or a crook on the end. And that crook is used to grab a hold of a sheep, is the way I understand it. And so as I thought on the purposes and read about some of the, you know, just different things that shepherds had to say, people that own sheep, what these staffs would be good for, one of the first things and most interesting things I found was they're good for prodding the sheep.
Hey.
And so what that is, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever been around them. I've been around them a little bit with my father-in-law having them. You can't drive a sheep. Tried it. You get behind them, start pushing them, Brother Jerry. They're not like a cow. They don't just go that way. I mean, if that door is there and I was trying to push them down that aisle, they'd try to run between the aisles. That's where they would go. Brother Gavin, I don't know how to explain it. They don't drive. A cow, it would run straight through the clearest opening.
Sure.
A sheep, it's liable to jump on its neighbor and try to get over a fence. I mean, that's just the way they are. But so you can't drive them. You know, like I said, the shepherd's got to lead them. But there's times when he's leading, he's walking in place or whatever, and them sheep come to a spot, and he don't want them to stop, Brother Jerry, but they say, I want to stop right here. And he can't drive them, but he can prod them a little bit. And he can't get back with a whip and beat them, but he can walk up to them and take that crook, that staff, and he can reach out there and just poke them, give them a little nudge, just saying, it's not time to stop, just keep going. And so I thought, man, how often in the lives of us as believers does the Lord just give us a gentle prod? A gentle nudge. You know, I mean, because I'm the world's worst. God, tell me to do something, Brother Jesse, and I'll give him every reason. Lord, I can't do that today. I don't want to do that right now. I don't really feel like I'm impressed to talk to that person, right? All those different things. And yet, he takes that staff and he just says, it's not time to stop.
Amen.
And he just gives me a gentle nudge.
Thank God, bro.
Just gives me a little boost. Says, you can't stop right there. You need to keep going. And so I thought about that and the things in Scripture, and we won't look at a bunch of Scriptures right here, but you know, sometimes in my life personally, I just need a nudge.
Yes.
It's not that I don't want to do what's right. It's not that I want to disobey my God. It's just sometimes I get complacent and I feel like, man, I'm fine right here. Why would you want to push me? I mean, sometimes I need a nudge just to get right up here. But I'm not trying to be disobedient, Brother Jerry. That's not my goal. But still yet, there's times I say, Lord, maybe not right now. I just want to stop right here. Lord, I'm comfortable right here. The grass looks green right here. There's water close right here. Why can't we just lay down right here? But you never know what God has if we'll just take one more step.
That's right.
What might happen if we just take that nudge that He gives us, take another step, go a little farther. You know, at the first part of the verse we looked at, that action that David was doing, he says, yea, though I walk. There has to be an action that we're doing. And we're not called to stop. We're called to continue. And so sometimes we're told to walk, but yet we want to stop. And so He has to give us a gentle nudge, just a gentle push to do what He wants us to do. And He takes that rod out. And I thought about in Scripture, I want to read you, this was a blessing to me. I started just just brainstorming all the scriptures that I could just come to quickly in my mind of the gentle nudges that He gives us in Scripture. And they come in just, Brother Joe, a lot of times just single verse. Just in the New Testament, Paul's, you know, doing all this good, deep teaching. And Brother Kevin, all of a sudden, he just throws in this nugget and says, you need to do this as well. Don't forget. Don't forget to do this. By the way, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
All those different nudges, Brother Matthew, that maybe sometimes don't even seem to fit into the rest of the passage. Don't forget to love one another. But I just want to read just a few of these, that just some gentle nudges that we find in Scripture. You know, often I already said we're told to walk.
Hey.
He told us to repent. He told us to believe. He told us to pray, to study, to teach, to preach.
Right.
Just gentle nudges. Kevin decides he thinks I need to stop for a little while. You know what the Lord's going to come do and nudge him? He's going to say, you need to preach.
Right.
You need to preach. He said to bear you one another's burdens. He said to comfort one another, forbear one another, forgive one another. Sometimes I need a nudge to forgive somebody. How often does your children or your spouse or your closest friends just do something, and man, it just gets to you? And sometimes you just got to have a nudge of the Holy Ghost to remind you, say, forgive one another. I appreciate some gentle nudges of the Holy Ghost. Reminds me of what the Bible says. Hey, I'm human just like everybody else, Brother Adam. It's easy for me to get angry. I get upset. Sometimes I just want to go off to myself because I don't want to be around nobody. I mean, all those different things that I'm assuming everybody faces. Maybe I'm the only person that has those problems. But it just takes a gentle nudge of the Holy Ghost to remind me.
Yes. Yes.
Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Right? Man, that's just a gentle nudge. But man, it cuts deep. Sometimes I think, oh Lord, why in the world am I not just willing to forgive? But man, when I think about what Christ forgave me for, it becomes real easy, doesn't
right.
it? To just say, that's nothing. All they did was say a word that hurt my feelings. I believe I can forgive that. But He says, forgiving one another. He's told us to edify and exhort one another. He told us to stand, to love, to endure. To endure hardness as a good soldier. He told us that we ought to be working, that we ought to praise, that there's times that we ought to fear. He's told us to arise, told us to follow. He told us to awake. He told us to cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. Just gentle nudges, just gentle reminders. It says, as a believer, there's some things that you need to do to make the next step, just to get a little farther. Put on the armor of light. He reminded us, He said, be sober, be vigilant. He said to look, be ready, watch, awake out of sleep. Folks, over and over and over, and that's just a few that just came to my mind. I mean, just, you know, as I was thinking through them, Brother Matt, just gentle nudges in Scripture. Some of them's pretty healthy nudges. But if we'll do them, when He nudges us to do those things, how much better will it make our Christian life? How much happier, how much more joy can we have in walking this way that He's given us to walk if we'll just remember those nudges that He gives us? Brother Doug, sometimes those nudges come from my brother Kevin. Sometimes they come from my brother Joe. Sometimes it's as easy as a text that somebody sends me and says, hey, brother, just praying for you. Ain't that a nudge?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you've ever done this, and I don't have it like Brother Kevin does, but when you get done, you feel like a beat dog. I'll just be honest with you.
Sure.
Because when I step down from here, I start thinking of all the things that I said that I shouldn't have said, and I think of all the things that I wanted to say that I didn't say, and I think, Lord, I'd probably just made a terrible, terrible mistake. And then, of course, you know, I'm sure the devil just comes in and just wears on you. And you try to suppress that, but still yet, it's still an attack. And really, it's probably myself more than anything. But man, it's so good. And somebody comes by and just says, "You just don't know how that helped me." Maybe it was just one word that was said that was encouragement. I'm not telling y'all to come tell me that, okay? But I'm saying that as a person, no matter what work you're doing, Sean, if it's Sunday school, if it's coordinating for the meals of the ladies, you know, you constantly think, man, what did I mess up? I know I forgot something. I left something out. God wanted me to do something. I meant to do this. Oh, I forgot to put a card in that basket. All those different things that you can forget. But ain't it good when the Holy Ghost just comes by?
Yeah.
Maybe it's through the form of a different servant, a different member of the church, a good friend that just comes by and says, "Hey, I just want you to know I appreciate all that you do. I appreciate the fact that you pray for me." I mean, just a message to somebody that says, "Hey, I'm praying for you," goes a long way. Just call somebody and say, "Hey, I just want you to know I love you. I'm checking on you." Folks, those are nudges.
Hey, that's right.
And just let the Lord use you to be a nudger, to be a prodder, just to let somebody know it's not time to quit yet. Folks, we all face these things. We all have difficulties. We all have times that we want to just say, "Lord, I'm tired. I'm not getting anywhere with this. I just want to quit." But then, I'm telling you, He's faithful. And so there's never a time that when I've been that way, when I've got down to the point where I think, "Lord, I just want to quit. Lord, it don't feel like You're showing me anything." All those things, brother, it just never fails. At the right time,
yep.
He says,
"Hey,
there you go. There's you a nudge from another country."
Yep.
And I appreciate His nudges is what I'm saying.
Right, bro.
Just a gentle problem. He's not beating me with that stick. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about His chastening. None of that. I'm just saying there's times that He lovingly comes by and says, "You can't stop there," and just takes that rod and just gives me a push. Says, "You need to take another step." And what a difference another step can make. What a difference. And so I thought, you know, one of the greatest nudges we read about, and Lord willing, a bunch from the church is going to get to follow this in November. But He said to go ye therefore, in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
The Great Commission.
What a blessing.
To go. Sometimes that's the nudge that we need, ain't it? Just somebody say, "Go." If you've never been on visitation, men, if you're a man here and you don't ever come, I'm not trying to pick out anybody specifically. I'm telling you, the Bible says go. You don't have to wait for a supernatural push. You've already got it. He's already given it in the Word of God, a gentle nudge to go. And I promise you, if you go, you'll not want to stop because of the blessings that you get out of it. Brother Kevin, I don't know that there's anything that makes me happier than when we go out and visit somebody. And a week down the road, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, all of a sudden they darken them doors. And you get to see them walk through. And you just think, man, I know I didn't have much part in that, Lord, but it's good to know that I was involved in that.
Sure.
And that You used what little bit we could do for Your honor and for Your glory. And maybe save somebody because of it. I'm not trying to glorify anything that we do.
Nope.
But what I'm saying, it's real good if you can get yourself as a tool in the hands of God.
That's right.
And all it takes is following the nudges that He's already given. They're there. Maybe you're not ever nudged to do things because you don't know what this book says. It'd be hard for you to know what all these nudges are if you're not familiar with it.
You're right. That's true.
You say, "Well, I don't want to do anything." Well, probably because you don't realize what God's done for you. If we ever got our mind wrapped around what God has done for us, how could we not want to do something for Him?
You're right.
You know, the Bible does say we love Him because why? He first loved us. You talk about a nudge. The Apostle Paul said the love of Christ constrained him. It constrained him. He had a hold of what God had done for him. And it affected him in such a way, that's all the nudge that he needed. He said, I can't stop. I can't stop because he loves me so much. All the nudges that we have in Scripture. So as I pondered on that rod, I thought, man, he just prods us all the time and just says, hey, you need to go a little bit farther. A little bit farther. You need to go in this direction or that direction. Just another step. Don't quit now. But not only does he prod us, but number two, and probably one of the greatest blessings that I found in this staff was that it is used in prevention. So he prods, but with that staff at the same time, he prevents. And what I mean by that, Brother Doug, an arm of a shepherd is only so long. And so if he's behind the sheep and he sees that they're getting ready to walk toward danger, you know, he might reach out and wave his arm and try to get them to come this way, Joe. But if he takes that 6-foot staff for however long, holds it in his hand and holds it out there, that puts something in the eyes of those sheep that prevents them from going a way that they didn't need to go. And he just uses that thing to direct those sheep and keep them in the line that he wants them to stay in. And do you reckon that God ever prevents us from doing things that would be a danger or a detriment to us, but yet we may not see it? But he places a roadblock or he places something in front of us. Sometimes he just places the Word of God in front of us as a prevention.
That's right.
And I'm thankful for the times in my life that, you know, I felt like things were going the right way, but yet all of a sudden he threw a roadblock in place. And what I found every time is that he had something better. There was something better, something safer for me. And only God knows those things. I don't know. I mean, Brother Doug, I mean, I don't know what the next minute holds for me or whatever. But he knows whatever direction I turn, what damage it could do to me. And so he's got that staff in his hand that he can reach out there and say, no, you can't go that direction. Don't turn right. Don't turn left. It's time to stay straight.
Hey.
And so I thought about the different things in Scripture that, once again, just brainstorming and thinking about things, you know, as he uses that staff as an extension of his arm, I thought about 1 Corinthians 8 verse 9. Says, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours be a stumbling block to them that are weak. And you say, well, what in the world are you talking about? And there's times that he has to prevent you and I from being a stumbling block. I don't ever want to be a stumbling block. But there's decisions that you and I can make because we have liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Things that we can do that are not necessarily sin in themselves. But if we do them, we're going to put a stumbling block in front of somebody else and can harm them from coming to Christ or harm them from having confidence in the church or different things. I'll give you an example in my life. Okay, this is real simple. So Sundays, I don't go out in my yard and mow. That's real simple. Not saying it's wrong for you to do that. I'm just saying I don't do that. Okay? Why do I not do that? Because the first time somebody come by my house and saw me out there mowing my yard on a Sunday, there are people, there are Christians in our town right here that would drive by Brother Kevin and lose confidence in me because they saw me mowing my grass on a Sunday. Not willing for that to happen.
Right, bro.
I'm just not willing. Sometimes my grass needs mowed on a Sunday, I'll be honest with you. It's rained all week, finally it's dried up, and it's this high. Does my yard need mowed? Yeah, it needs mowed. Could I just be in my front yard for 2 hours? Yeah, I might just be out there to be seen for 2 hours. But guess who would no doubt drive by in those 2 hours? It would be somebody that I would be a stumbling block to. That's in my life. That's just a conviction that I have, okay? You all do what you want to do. I'm just telling you, I could just go down the list. Yours might be not going in a place that serves alcohol. It might be that you don't go in a convenience store that has alcohol. That don't bother me because nobody knows me to ever drink because I never have. But for you, if that's a place that you used to frequent and buy alcohol, guess what that could look like to somebody?
Sure.
It could look like you're going back in. Yep, so-and-so's back up. They said they've been saved 6 months ago, year ago. Now they're back in their old ways. I'm not saying they're right, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying those people are judging you right. But what I'm saying is, it is our job to not put any kind of stumbling blocks in front of people.
That's right.
So you may look at our pastor, or you may look at me, or you may look at any of these brothers and say, well, why don't they do this? Or why don't they? There's nothing wrong with this. Well, maybe there's not.
Yep.
None of those things that I'm talking about is wrong in itself. Nothing wrong with me mowing my yard, Brother Jerry. But in the right situation, if I do it the right way, or the wrong way, I guess I should say, it could hinder somebody else.
You're right. That's true.
You know, here's something else. I'm throwing out some examples. This is not specific to anybody. I don't know nothing about you all. So let's say we have church on a Sunday morning and we have an afternoon service today, Brother Kevin. Here's something I'm not going to do. I'm not going to rush off to the lake after the church service at 2 o'clock and be down at the lake at 5.
Sure.
Why? Why am I not going to be at the lake at 5 o'clock this evening?
Yep.
In my swimming trunks. Why is that? Folks, I know this is supposed to be comforting. I'm not trying to go here, but I feel like I need to go here. So why am I not going to do that? Because if I go down there, Sean, sure enough, somebody that knows I'm supposed to be here at 6 is going to say, Josh, lay out of church today.
Yep.
And guess what? That's not going to just stay up here in their mind. Where is it going to go?
Yes, sir, buddy.
It's coming out. And it's going to come out to somebody that it's going to be a stumbling block for. So when we get out of here, I'm going to try not to be out somewhere that I don't need to be at 5 or 6 o'clock tonight.
Right.
That's just the way it is. I might find me a place to go to church tonight, honestly, but still yet, if I don't, where do I need to be? Probably need to be real careful. All I'm saying is, it's not that I'm doing anything wrong. I've already been to church twice today. What's it matter? It still matters. It still matters. And you all say, man, he's a fanatic. You call me whatever you want to. I don't want anybody to have an occasion to say something that would bring reproach on Christ. Or to lose my testimony, Brother Donnie. I've done enough without trying in my life to hurt myself. I don't want to willingly and knowingly do something that could harm my testimony. It's that simple. Family reunions. Don't go to family reunions. Well, we've been to family reunions on Sundays. I feel bad the whole time I'm there, and I make sure we get back to church. I don't miss church for them. Not saying you should. I'm just saying that's just the way it is.
Right.
Why? Even my family, they know. But man, when I get up and leave, when it's time for me to get back to church, what does that do for them? That puts something in their mind that they know that place is important enough. In fact, it's more important than his family to him. All I'm saying, I'm not saying that you're doing anything wrong. You understand? I hope I'm being clear. It's not that these things in themselves are wrong. There's times we have to miss church. There's times that we can't be there. There's times me and my family go on vacation. But that's a little bit different story than if I'm right here around people that I'm going to be a stumbling block to. Do you understand the difference? Does everybody understand the difference? I don't want to hurt or harm anybody with what I'm saying. I want you to think. But God's put those preventative arms, those extensions, that staff, that says, you probably shouldn't do this. don't do this. You can't go there. It's not the right time for that.
Amen.
To help me and to help him. Man, I didn't mean to do none of that, but I hope that it helps some of you.
Sure.
Your convictions don't have to be mine, okay? And mine don't have to be yours. There's certain things in Kevin's life that would hurt somebody that if it happened in mine, it wouldn't bother them. That's just the truth. That's just the way it is. Sin for him is sin for me. But the Bible does say, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if you know that what you're doing is going to put a stumbling block, I meant to move on, I promise. But if you know what you're doing is going to put a stumbling block in front of somebody and you do it anyway,
right,
that's when it becomes a sin.
That's exactly
right. I don't know how to say it other than that. So I guess there is some difference. Really, there is some difference. All I'm saying is be careful, folks. I'm not a legalist. I'm not saying you can't do this. I'm not saying a woman's got to have a skirt down to her shoes all the time. I'm not saying you got to throw out your TV and throw out your radio and get rid of your four-wheeler. I'm not saying none of that. Everything is okay in its rightful place. I mean, obviously there's some things. Let me clarify that. There's some things that are not okay. I mean, everything that we know to be good is okay in its rightful place. Okay? Let me clarify. All right? I'm not saying go home and it's okay for you to sip on some alcohol in your house. No, that's not what I'm saying. Let me clarify. You see how easy it is to say something? I knew when everybody's faces was like this, like, everything's okay. They're lighting the mood a little bit. Not purposefully. But everybody understand. Things are okay. God's given us all things to enjoy. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variables, neither shadow of turning. All those things. I mean, all these good things that God gives us. Everything you have comes from Him.
Yes.
So if you have anything good, it's from Him. But let's not use those things in any way to be a stumbling block for somebody. And you better not be the one that invites somebody to go four-wheeling on a Sunday.
Hey, praise God.
If I know it, and you're a member of this church, I don't care a bit to come personally and tell you.
Sure.
That is wrong.
Right.
Don't take somebody away from their church. I'm sorry, folks. I don't know why I'm digging
Lord
right here.
Knows, brother. Mind the Lord.
But don't do that. Don't ask somebody to go to the lake with you on a Sunday.
Right.
If you're going to miss, you miss. Go by yourself. Don't drag somebody down with you.
Praise God.
So, don't be a stumbling block, folks. What time is it? Does anybody know?
Preaching time.
Oh, God. What is it? It's black. You're not showing me nothing. All right, I got 2 minutes. All right. I'm going to give you 2 more minutes anyway.
Hey.
All right, we're going to move on, though, okay? I hope that's clear enough. Y'all go home, pray about it. Hey, it'd be all right for you to pray and say, Lord, help me not be a stumbling block.
Yes.
Show me areas in my life where I might be a stumbling block to somebody. Is that okay?
Yep.
I think that's all right. So there's some preventative things that God puts in our place to stop us from doing things. And 1 Corinthians 9:27, Brother Kevin, you preachers, some of us that are involved in ministry here, of any kind, this is real specific. Now, it comes to everybody. But it says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection,
yes,
lest that by any means,
right,
any means, when I have preached to others, which every one of us in some form ought to be preaching to others,
yes,
when I have preached to others, I myself should be made a castaway. So there's some prevention there in the Word of God that He's placed, Brother Jesse, that says, Jesse, be careful, bring yourself into subjection, because if you've preached to others, you sure yourself don't want to fall and be a castaway.
Hey.
What he's not talking about losing your salvation. He's talking about being useless for the ministry.
That's right.
When God just saying, I have to be done with you. Brother Matt, in your life, brother, I don't ever want that to happen. God's using you in such a way, I don't ever want you to get in that place where God says, I'm done with you.
Yes.
I don't desire that for anybody here.
No.
That's a scary, scary thing. And for those of us that have messed up in a few times in our lives, it's a fearful thing.
Yeah.
When you think, Lord, did I mess up too much? Well, I don't want that. I don't want that for me, Brother Kevin. I don't want it for you. I don't want it for these preachers. I don't want it for my wife. I don't want it for my children. And I sure don't want it for anybody in this church.
Right.
Folks, I want us to guard ourselves. Bring yourself into subjection. So, number one, that we're not the stumbling blocks.
Yes.
But then also that we don't mar it up so bad that God has to be done with us for a while. Sad verses, but they're in there for some prevention purposes.
That's right.
And I'm thankful that He's preventing us from doing things that we ought not do to harm the cause of Christ.
Good, bro.
So we'll quit right there. I said I was going to comfort everybody. I did not mean, I promise. I had no intentions, zero, in staying right there. But man, there's times that God just says, right there, you stop for a while. And if that's what He says, Brother Jesse, that's what we'll do. We'll just try to honor Him, and it'll be okay. And you just if you have hard feelings toward me after today, you come talk to me and let me know. I'll apologize for anything I said amiss, but I will not apologize for what the Word of God teaches.
Amen.
So, I appreciate everybody's good attention. And